deeper to it in the scripture to go make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28, beginning in verse number 19. Let's just begin in verse 18 together. If you're there, say amen. And we've been sitting a while. If you're physically able to and you would like to, I'm going to encourage you to stand with me for just a moment. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach. The word teach literally means to make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, discipling them, mentoring them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This subject here, making disciples of the next generation. Making disciples of the next generation. I want us to focus on this as a church family for a little while, and let's ask God to speak to our hearts here tonight. Father, we need your help. I pray you would bless these few moments that we have remaining in your word, that they would be an encouragement and a challenge to us as a church family, Lord, to see the great need and the great privilege, the great responsibility that we have as the church. Not only to make disciples, but particularly making disciples of this generation that's coming behind us to lead your work forward in the days to come. And Lord, we ask for you to bless our time in the scriptures here now. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing there. I really just have three statements I want to make to you tonight. And this is more of a topical message here tonight. Just some things that God put on my heart about reaching the next generation of young people coming up. I'm a millennial. Some of you in here are Gen Xers. How many are Gen Xers and you know it? All right, a couple of you know. All right, what's the generation before that? Is that the Boomers? Boomers. The Boomers. How many of you are baby Boomers? There you go. Am I missing anybody? Oh, you're a boomer, aren't you? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we're all from different generations in here, and we got, I guess y'all are probably Generation Z down here. They're Gen Z. I don't know what's going to happen after this generation. They're going to have to go back and start the alphabet over or what. But anyways, we're all from different generations in this room. And the truth of the matter is, every generation needs to be reached with the gospel. You understand that? Every generation needs to know about Jesus Christ. There's no discrimination. God doesn't particularly call us in the scripture to reach one generation more than another. I understand that. I understand all of that. But one of the things I learned working at the youth camp that I worked at a youth camp for 7 summers from the time I was 15 all the way through high school and through most of my college as well. And the founder of that Christian camp. He was just an old army guy. His name was Clarence Doyle. We called him Brother Doyle. And I remember Brother Doyle coming and preaching at our church growing up because he would always walk on the pews. That's old-fashioned kind of preaching. And I don't know necessarily that it was relevant to what was being spoken of from the Bible, but as a young person, I always remembered it. He'd always have us lined up on the row, and he would give out gold dollars to all of us young men if we would be his amen corner, and he'd line us up, and the first one's supposed to say amen, the second one's supposed to say praise the Lord, the third one's supposed to say hallelujah, the fourth one's supposed to say glory to God, and the last one, I always want to be the last one, because the last one's supposed to stand up and go, woo, just like that. I always want to be the last one. Again, nothing relevant to what was being spoken from the Bible, but boy, he got through to us as young people because he knew how to connect with young people, and then in all of that hubbub of things he would do, he would get across good biblical truth. And one of the founding statement that he instituted for Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp was this: it's easier to build boys and girls than to repair men and women. There's a lot of truth in that statement. And guess what I'm getting across to you is we have a unique opportunity to really preserve a generation from a lot of heartache and trouble that many of you have gone through in your own lifetimes. Not all because of your own doing or your own fault. I understand that, different circumstances. Those of you that are a little bit farther down the road and been made mistakes like I have, you understand the significance of that kind of statement. It's easier to build. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know what that word train up literally means in the Hebrew? It means to dedicate. You know, we have baby dedications. It's talking about dedicating children to the way of the Lord. In the way of the Lord. And God has called us as the church, yes, to make disciples. And so often we get so focused on getting people saved outside of these four walls, or trying to get people outside these four walls to come in and trust Christ. But sometimes we lose sight of the opportunity we have sitting right in front of us already. It's a great opportunity here for Christ to make disciples, to make an impact for the future. I was encouraged this last week, and I didn't know this until he told me this past week, but Clayton, you guys just heard Clayton. Clayton, raise your hand for me. Clayton, there's a group that we got started getting involved with last year. It's called FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's in the public school. Miss Debbie has been leading an initiative to bring them a lunch here pretty soon. It's a public Bible. It's a public school Bible club, which I love to hear. But Clayton's actually leading in that Bible club, actually giving devotions to his peers on a weekly basis in that Bible club. There, I was encouraged to hear that. I'm just talking about great potential that exists in this generation in front of us. And I wanted to just give you a challenge tonight before we're done here, because I know some of you are baby boomers and Gen Xers, and we got some millennials in here as well like me. All of us are from different generations, but it doesn't matter how old or young you are. God wants to use you to make an impact on the people who are coming behind you. Some of the people who are coming behind you are from a younger generation. Some of the people who are coming behind you, so to speak, in the faith, might even be older than you. But God has called us to edify each other as the church, to build each other up in our most holy faith. And so I want to give you just three statements that I think will be helpful for us as we consider this whole idea of making disciples, and particularly of the next generation. Here's the first statement, if you'd like to write it down. Lead as you follow. Lead as you follow. I'm going to have you go several places in the scripture with me tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where I'd invite you to go with me first. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Lead as you follow. You see, if we are going to make disciples, and we talked about this when we introduced our theme from Matthew chapter 4 earlier in the year, but if we're going to make disciples, it's got to start with a commitment from each one of us ourselves to follow Christ. It's got to start with you being a disciple yourself. Before you can invite someone to follow you somewhere, you have to know where you're going. You might lead them to a place that you don't want to go and you wouldn't want them to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, I like what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, be ye followers of me, even as what? I also am of Christ. He knew where he was going, and he knew where he wanted to lead people to. By the way, what we're not trying to do is trying to lead people to listen to the kind of music we listen to, to dress the way we dress, to act the way we act. All right? So if I told these young people, if you don't come in a suit next week, then you're not right with God. No, that completely goes against what we were talking about this morning. You remember that legalism thing? Okay? Paul wasn't messing with petty stuff. He knew if it got him to Christ, all that other stuff would fall into its proper place. We're following Christ, and we're calling others to follow Christ. So we've got to be followers of Christ ourselves. And what I'm talking about, lead as you follow. You're following Christ, and now you're trying to lead others to come along with you. You're not pushing them to do something you're not doing. That's called dictatorship. You are following Christ, and as you're going, you're inviting others to come along with you. That's the picture being painted in the scriptures for us here. So let me say, the next generation needs some people who know the truth and are able and willing to convey it to them. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me really quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 2, let's read it out together. I'll give you a second to get there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says this. Let's read together. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, teenagers can lead teenagers. I know that's true because I see it from these young people. As much as adults can lead adults, teenagers can lead teenagers. But let me tell you something that's very important here. Most young people are just looking for somebody to care enough to invest time in them. I know these young people got up here and they clowned around a little bit, and that's great. I love that. I think it's good. I think that we should have a family environment in our church. I think that should be okay for that to happen. Don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you what, in some one-on-one conversations, Brother Caleb could tell you, I could tell you, some one-on-one conversations that we had this week, I'm sure Miss Sheila as well, and Brother Stan, that we had with some of these young people, God's really working in hearts. And that discipleship doesn't take place exclusively in times like these. And these young people, God spoke to their heart through preaching this week. That's great. I'm not undermining the importance of preaching. But this real teaching and answering questions and conveying truth, it happens on a one-on-one basis. Now, thankfully, hey, you know where God designed for that discipleship primarily to take place? Is not the church. It's the home. Parents. It's you. Sitting down with your young people. Grandparents. Asking them questions, letting them ask you questions. Conversation about the Word of God and about spiritual things ought to be a normal thing in your home. And I loved it. It was yesterday. Junior, he came up to me and said, "Pastor, are we going to be in Genesis 21 tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah, we sure are." I'll tell you what I was thinking immediately when he said that to me. Well, Brother Roy and Miss Christy, they've got their kids knowing that we're going to the next passage in the scripture. That's an important thing to them. That's that mentorship. I know that he asked me that question because Brother Roy asked me the same question every week. We're going to be in the next chapter? He loves expository preaching. That's what I'm talking about, that conveying that truth. And it does start in the home, but you understand as well as I do that some of these young people, and you young people that this is your lot, you understand this too, they don't have that at home for them. They don't have a mom and dad to lead them. That's what the Bible talks about later in the pastoral epistles. It talks about older women in the church being like mothers. Older men in the church family being like fathers. Hey, people of the same age being like brothers and sisters. Now, it used to be the teenagers in the youth groups that I was a part of, they would consider me to be like their older brother. Now they're coming up to me and saying, "You're like a father figure to me." Like, no, what is happening? But that ought to be a normal thing. Yeah, one of them told me it was old. That's true. One of them told me that. But if I could challenge you with anything, okay, you might think, "Well, they don't want anything to do with me. I'm just an old fuddy-duddy." You're wrong. You're wrong. They do. I'm going to tell you something. You offer to take a teenager out to eat somewhere. You offer to sit down and just, some of you older men, well, you've got some stories. Some of you are veterans. Some of you have got some things you've experienced that you could convey to this next generation. And you could be a discipler to the next generation. And that's what God's called us to lead others as we're following Christ. Now here's the second statement because we're running out of time. Stand as you move. I'm giving you paradoxes here tonight, okay? Lead as you follow. The second, stand as you move. And I'll clarify what I mean in just a moment. In the midst of a culture that is ever-changing, this generation needs something that is consistent and real. Our culture is on a one-way stop straight to hell. The things that we see happening today, and it isn't even moving slowly anymore. Some of the things we see happening in our culture are going downhill, and they're going downhill very fast. Many of us like to complain and grumble about the things that we see happening in our culture. And that's why I say this generation needs something in the midst of this ever-shifting, changing culture that is consistent, and that is real. I like reading the story of Joshua in the scripture. Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the scripture, and particularly one of the most well-beloved passages of Joshua, is of the book of Joshua, is in Joshua chapter 24. If you turn over there with me, Joshua chapter 24, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua. Deuteronomy, Joshua, sorry. But go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24 and verse number... Joshua 15, the Bible says in Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Read the last part of the verse with me out loud. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, many of us have this. How many of you have this hung in your house somewhere, this statement right here? Yeah, it's a fun statement to hang in your house. We have it as well. And it is a great anthem to live by, but it was more than just that for Joshua. Joshua was an older man. Okay, Joshua was already an old man when he went in and conquered the promised land. God had kept him healthy because he was the one person who was promised to be able to inherit he was one of two people that was promised to be able to inherit the promised land. All the rest of his generation died off before they ever went into the promised land. So he was already ancient to the people that marched into the promised land. Now this is towards the end of his life. He's looking at this younger generation. And I'll tell you what, the Bible says that the people of Israel, they stayed true to the ways of God so long as Joshua lived. He had an influence for good, for right, amongst that people. He wasn't just some old fuddy-duddy. He was the one person that was real. He was the one person that was consistent in the midst of what was oftentimes an ever-shifting culture. And I'll tell you, some of you can be that. The one thing that these young people look back to, you know, there's a lot of crazy things going on in my life, but that guy was always real. That guy was always consistent. That guy was always there. That guy always took the time for me. That lady always took the time for me. And that's what we see here conveyed in the scripture for us. I like what one person said. One person said, the men who have changed the world are men that the world could not change. And boy, I tell you, when it comes to what we believe and the convictions that we hold, that ought to ring true for every single one of us here tonight. And yet, while we must not change in our doctrine, there are times that we must change the way that we communicate. The way that we communicate that truth. We don't change the truth, but there are times we need to change the way that we communicate the truth. I don't have time to go into all of this. But you know, Jesus violated the religious culture of his day by using means that weren't typical, that weren't sanctioned by the law, to reach people. He was often called out for it. But Jesus just said, hey, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. That was his heartbeat. The Apostle Paul reiterated the same heartbeat later in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we don't have time to go there here tonight, but you can go back and read it later in verses 19 through 22. He talked about all different types of groups of people, and he said, to the Jews I became as a Jew, to the Gentiles as a Gentile. He goes down and talks about all these different types of individuals that he would reach them at their level. And at the end of it, he says, I've become all things to all men that I might by all means reach some. we ought to be willing to go outside of our own context to make disciples. Don't change the truth, but be willing to move to where someone else is to bring them to the truth. You get what I'm saying? That's going to be necessary if we're going to make disciples of the next generation. Youth today need more than church services. They need people who care about them, who will be there to listen to them, and who will help them navigate the questions that are going on in their minds. Some of these young people in public school, you all don't even fully realize it, but you're getting pumped full of propagandist agendas in the public schools. And you kids that are homeschooled and going to Christian school here, you're not exempt from it either. We live in a society that are trying to push these ideologies and push these agendas on you. And I'm gonna tell you what, I remember being a teenager and having just questions. What is right here? What am I supposed to think about this? Now thank God I always had a daddy I could talk to. I've always had a mama I could talk to when I had those types of questions, but not every young person has that in church. It's time that we step up and be willing to be the people who make disciples of this next generation. Move from your seat, move from where you are, move from your high perch or your low perch, move from your insecurity of thinking that they don't want to listen to you or you've been outdated or you're irrelevant to them now. Get outside of your comfort zone and immerse yourself in the life of someone else. Hey, who needs the truth to be conveyed to them. That's what I'm talking about. And we need to understand that and take on that heartbeat as a church here tonight. And we often want the public show, but too few are willing to minister in private. It's one thing to be a teacher of a class or a preacher from a pulpit or to have a public ministry, so to speak. But real discipleship happens in one-on-one. You finding that kid nobody else is talking to, nobody else is investing in. That kid may not be at Lighthouse. That kid might be in your neighborhood. To put it frankly, that kid might be in your home. But you finding that one. You know what? I'm going to offer to bring them to church. If they don't have anybody else to bring them, I'm going to offer to bring them to church. And I was a youth pastor. We had a grand marquee, all right? I'm trying to remember a Mercury grand marquee is what we had, okay? Like the cars Don Wilson likes to drive. Big trunk in it. I had that in college. There were several times when I had people in my trunk. They weren't dead, don't worry. We would run down to the donut shop and then we'd run out of room. And so being the wise college students that we were, we would throw them in the trunk because we had no more room in the car. But I remember many times filling up that car. Brother Caleb still does this oftentimes, driving around for 2 hours before the service, driving around for 2 hours after the service, dropping them back off, but getting them there, spending that time with them. It was never wasted time. It was never wasted time. And then I'll tell you this. Because this is important for understanding this point here. Stand while you move. I remember when I was a youth pastor, we went to a camp. There was a young man named Brandon. Brandon was 14 years old. He decided to go to camp the night before. In fact, no, it was the day of. And he had talked about it. We talked to him about it, given the information. But the day of, he shows up and says, "I'd like to go to camp." And so we had to work that out. But We got it all figured out, and we got him to camp. First night of camp, clear gospel message. Brandon responds. I pull him aside, and I begin to go through the Romans Road with him. He started asking questions. And I soon realized Brandon had never been to church. He had no idea. Like, he never heard John 3:16. He knew who Jesus was as a cultural icon, but had no idea. He didn't know who Adam and Eve were. And I realized the Romans Road didn't cut it. I had to go back to Genesis, start at the beginning, explain what sin is and how we fell into sin and why that's a problem and go through the narrative of the scripture and lead up to Jesus Christ. And then show him why he needed to trust Christ as his Savior. And praise the Lord, that week he did trust Christ as his Savior. But I learned something in all of that. There are many people in my generation, millennials, and generations younger than I, who have not been raised in church. And President Obama is the one that said it about America, and I think it probably rings true. We are no longer a Christian nation only. It used to be that Christian influence was dominant upon America, but that isn't so today. And you would be shocked in this community at how many of our young people know nothing of the Word of God, not to mention their need to trust Christ as their Savior. Friend, we're going to have to move beyond just our typical means of trying to reach people. I'm not saying change the truth. What I am saying is, hey, we've got to be willing to go beyond. We've got to be willing to move from where we are to go to where they are, to reach them on their level. So, lead while you follow. Stand while you move. Here's the last thing, and I'll be really brief with this. And it is, show as you grow. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Show as you grow. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, and we'll be done. Colossians 3 and verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father, by him. Hey, as you are allowing the word of God to work in your heart and life, as you are growing in your own faith, part of this disciple-making process is you being willing to convey what God is doing in you to the people that are around you. In other words, show forth God's truth as you're growing in God's truth. If we all wait till we think we're mature enough or ready to begin discipling the people who are coming behind us, then we never will. You'll never be ready enough. You'll never be well-trained enough. You'll never get there. God wants to use you where you're at the place that you are at in your spiritual development, to begin to impact the people that are around you in your life. And so as you are growing in God's truth, begin allowing God to use you to show forth that truth to the people that are around you. And boy, there's so much to this that I'm not going to have the time to say here tonight, but I like what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. He said, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. And he goes down and talks about all these things. And he told the church, he told Timothy, you've seen everything that I'm about. You've watched my life. You've observed me. As Paul grew, as Paul was used of God in the ministry, he realized there were people around him who his life was touching. And as you're growing in your faith, God wants to use you to bring those who are around you along with you. So yes, grow, but as you grow, be willing to show forth God's truth and bring those who are around you with you. As we grow, God wants to show himself through you to others who are around you. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And God wants to use you in that way. And just really some simple thoughts tonight on, hey, calling other followers of Jesus behind us. Whether they're from the younger generation or they're older than us but younger than us in their faith. God's called all of us to be a part of this process. And so here's my question for you in closing tonight. Who is it that God's called you to disciple? You. You say, well, my kid's already raised. My grandkids are already raised. But why don't you help somebody else's kids? Somebody else's grandkids. Why don't you use what God has given you to make an impact in the life of somebody else? And I wanted to do this tonight, but I don't have the time. I could go through and name after name of men and women who poured into my life as a young person. And many, if many of them had not, I'd not be standing here today. God wants to use some of you in that capacity, particularly for these young people, but not just for these young people. For the young people in this community, for the people in this community who need mentors like you. I was so encouraged today to see in Miss Heather's small group, three ladies in there. And two of them had never been here before. I think, is that Amanda back there? Amanda's back there. I met Amanda this morning. I was so encouraged to see those ladies in her small group there, ladies I'd never seen before. I don't even know where they're all at in their spiritual development. But I was encouraged to see someone who has grown in their faith, being a part of Lighthouse Baptist Church, now turning around and being willing to take the things that God has taught her to invest in the lives of those who are coming behind. That's what I'm talking about. That's our mission. It doesn't get any bigger than that. It doesn't get any more significant than that. That's it. That's the mission. It's not full buildings. It's not building new buildings. I'm not against any of that stuff. If it's needed, if that's what God leads us to do. But the work of the ministry is not nicer buildings, bigger buildings, all of those things that we make it out to be. It's disciples. It's making disciples of the next generation. And we have got to catch the heartbeat of God when it comes to this. Get a passion for what this mission is that God has called us to. And so here's what I want to do in conclusion here tonight. We're not going to have a call forward invitation, but we do have some young people here that I would like us to pray for. And as we conclude tonight, this is how we're going to conclude.